Tom Halverstedt is a scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca. Tom, the annual agronomy field tour coming up. Planning was done quite some time ago. Going to be virtual again this year, though.
Yeah, we don't have permission for in-person meetings yet, although I think judging by the way the rest of the state is moving, I think we'll be there soon. But as of next week, we are going to be online with our field tour, which actually in this year it would be welcome. Most of our field tours we plan on getting out, but it seems like one out of three we get too much rain and we're inside anyway. So this will be, we'll go on as planned, and it's going to be virtual. We'll have Seth Nave talk about where he sees the soybean crop. Been a year, very interesting year, planted in a lot of dry soil. Some of those soybeans came up a little uneven. Seth Nave, soybean specialist, will give us his thoughts on where the soybean crop is. Same for Jeff Coulter, the extension corn specialist. We had some corn planted early, and it didn't come up until we did get some rain later in May, and Jeff will give us his thoughts on what's going on there. We do have a topic we haven't addressed for a while, soybean cyst nematode. Senyu Chen, our staff faculty nematologist, is going to talk about soybean cyst nematode races and how we need to be on top of that to find out what race we're dealing with and find the genetic resistance that we need to match up with that HG type. I use the old term race, but apparently they call it HG types. And I'll talk about the weed control trials. A little bit unusual from what we've kind of gotten comfortable with the last few years. We've used a lot of soil-applied products and got good performance out of them. This year, we do know they work their best when you get good soil moisture, and I'm going to talk about just what they did for us. They're certainly not, they didn't go to waste, I can tell you that. Still got a lot of good performance out of some of those, even in these drier than normal conditions. Fabian Fernandez, a nutrient management specialist, is going to talk about nitrogen management for Minnesota soils, especially some of our poorly drained soils. And he's going to talk about some research they've done over the years and what we need to think about with nitrogen. And our own resident soil scientist here, Jeff Vetch, will talk about the commodity price, the fertilizer price, and how those two are interacting and how do farmers make the best decisions they can with fertilizer rates based on where the commodity prices are and where the fertilizer rates are.
Well, it's really nice that every year it's kind of the same topics, and yet there's always that special twist. I look at Jeff talking about fertilizer and the high price of fertilizer and high commodity prices. So you can always change gears and tweak it given what the growing season is looking like.
Yeah, in Jeff's case, you know, the science is there with fertilizer rates and things, but the economics of the time maybe make a little bit of difference about what's going on. So there's always something that you need to take that scientific data and analyze it and make the best decision you can for the time period you are in.
Now, I would expect that the hottest topic of discussion, unless things dramatically change, i.e. a big rain, there's going to be a lot of discussion on the weather and this dry weather. And I know that Jeff Coulter and Seth Nave are going to be giving their thoughts on how the corn and beans have survived. But what are your thoughts, Tom?
My thoughts are, as I was out just this morning, I'm amazed at how good things look with how little rainfall we've had. I think that's a testament to our soil's water-holding capacity. We are fortunate to live in an area that the crop so far has gotten by on stored soil moisture. Now, granted, we haven't hit the period where the crops need a lot of water. Like corn, when it's near tassel, it can use a quarter, a third of an inch of water a day. Well, we're going to run short on that if we don't get rain before that. So far, V6, V7 corn has been keeping up. Other than some areas I've seen, eroded knolls, We don't have a lot of sandy soils very close to us, but I got to believe that those soils that don't have decent water holding capacity are starting to suffer. But I am truly impressed with the way the crop looks so far. If it rained tonight, I think we would all be in pretty darn good shape.
Now you are going to get you're going to talk about the herbicide trials, and that's all well and good, but I know you're going to end up spending some time, Tom, talking about the second pass on the soybeans and given the heat and the dryness, and what if it doesn't rain, and what do we do? Because I was out in my fields just a couple days ago, and my second pass is going to have to be happening soon.
Well, yeah, a couple things to keep in mind. We did plant fairly early this year, soybeans. Watch for flowers. I've already, on some of our earliest planted soybeans, I've already seen some flowers. So that is the cutoff for a lot of us. So our early planted, we should be wrapping up soon. Now, last week, we had some super hot days, really warm nights. I think the cool nights, we've been getting down to 55, 60 every night. I think that really helps give the plant a chance to recover. But there are the burners, we call them, Flexstar, that family of chemistry. They can be pretty darn hot in these warm conditions. But what I always say is it's, you know, that injury, soybeans can recover. It looks bad for a few days. On the plus side, usually that same effect happens on the weeds. You get better performance when you get some of these warm conditions. So there is a balance there. Sometimes it makes the beans look a little bit tough, but my motto is it's the injury you can't see that scares me. And some of those products, we don't use a lot of them anymore, but we used to use the Pursuit Pinnacle on flowering soybeans and cause some abortion, and that was kind of the thing that bothered me. But we've gotten away from them, especially with our genetically engineered plants, be it Xtend, Enlist, Roundup. Soybeans are genetically programmed to tolerate those things, and I think we're in a lot better position now than we were just a few years ago.
And my thought is, even if it is hot, those genetically engineered glufosinate, or Liberty, I always like to say too, Roundup, the Enlist, or the Dicamba, my thought is that the beans, they're genetically engineered, so you wouldn't stress the beans as much as the burners, or does that not make any difference?
No, I think that does make a lot of difference. But if you need to, and a lot of the fields we need to pick up water hemp, if you have to add a burner, I wouldn't be afraid to do that.
The other thing you have to be careful about is, like, metoclopramide is petroleum-based, whereas acetochlor isn't. You can't forget that if you're layering that in, you're adding some oil in the metoclopramide, the duals I'm referring to.
Yes, there are. Usually, if you're going to add or layer a soil active chemistry, something like metoclopramide or acetochlor, Zidua, those that are in the EC formula, that would be things like Outlook, Dual. Those tend to have some products in them that make your post-emergence a little bit more active and can spot them up a little bit. Usually it isn't a big problem, but they do look a little tough. Some of the products like Zidua, that can be an SC, a soluble concentration that doesn't have the EC formulation, so they can work out a little bit better in some of those cases.
But I think the key is a lot of them, I mean, like especially the Enlist, the mixing order and what you're doing and surfactants and AMSs, pay attention, talk to your supplier, or make sure you understand the label as to what you should be doing when it's really hot.
That's right. Pay attention to the label and talk to people that have had experience. I do have one thought about, you know, we've been battling water hemp, and we've been really working hard on it, but one key component of good water hemp control is a good crop canopy, and if our soybeans can't quite cover the ground and we do start getting some rain, water hemp's going to find a way to get in there. So let's keep an eye on those fields and watch out for late season water hemp.
Back to the agronomy field tour, you have to pre-register, don't you, so you can get the Zoom link or whatever?
Yes, you'll have to sign up. It's at Tuesday, June 22nd at 10 o'clock. You probably can sign up as late as about 9:30 that morning, but try to pre-register so you've got the link, and then you can just go on to that link and get right on. No cost for this, although I think we'll ask if you would kindly like to make a donation when the program's over, if you feel it's worth it. We'd appreciate that.
And that just goes to help fund more research, right?
That would go to help fund more research and fund our activities and hopefully bring you a real live in-person Winter Crops Day this winter.
I'm going to hold you to that, Tom.
I think that's a real possibility.
I do too. Tom Halverstead, scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca.